Chapter 17. Nothing's Wrong with Me. Facebook froze Jacob's account, probably because of a subpoena compelling the production of everything he had ever posted. But with suicidal persistence, he opened a new Facebook account under the name Marvin Glasscock and began friending his inner circle again. He made no secret of this, and I roared about it. To my surprise, Lori took Jacob's side. "He's all alone," she said. "He needs people." Everything Lori did, everything she ever did, was to help her son. She insisted that Jacob was completely isolated now, and his online life was such a necessary, integral, natural part of how kids socialize that it would be cruel to deny him even this minimal human contact. I reminded her that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts intended to deprive him of a hell of a lot more than that, and we agreed at least to place some limits on the new account. Jacob was not to change the password, which would deny us access and the ability to edit him. He was not to post anything that touched on the case even remotely, and he was strictly forbidden to post photos or video, which were impossible to keep from squirting around the internet once they got loose and which could easily be misconstrued. Thus began a cat-and-mouse game in which an otherwise intelligent child endeavored to make jokes about his own situation in terms just vague enough that his father would not censor what he wrote. I made it a part of my morning rounds on the internet to check what Marvin Glasscock had written on Facebook the night before. Every morning, first stop Gmail, second Facebook, then Google Jacob Barber for news of the case. Then, if all was clear, I would disappear down the rabbit hole of the internet for a few minutes to forget the raging shitstorm I was standing in. What I found most amazing about my son's reincarnation on Facebook was that anyone was willing to friend him at all. In the real world, he had no friends. He was now utterly alone. No one ever called him or visited. He had been suspended from school, and come September, the town would be obliged to hire a tutor for him. The law required it. Lori had been negotiating with the school department for weeks, haggling over how much in-home tutoring Jacob was entitled to. In the meantime, he seemed to be utterly friendless. The same kids who were willing to link to Jacob online refused to acknowledge him in person. Granted, there were only a handful who accepted Marvin Glasscock into their online circle. Before the Rifkin murder, Jacob's Facebook network, the number of kids who read Jacob's dashed-off comments and whose comments Jacob followed in turn, numbered 474, mostly classmates, mostly kids I had never heard of. After the murder, he had only four, one of whom was Derek Yu. I wonder if those four, or Jacob, ever quite understood that their every move online created a record. Every keyboard click was recorded and stored on a server somewhere. Nothing they did on the web, nothing, was private. And unlike a phone call, this was a written form of communication. They were generating a transcript of every conversation,